chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves, who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan, who was on a journey, came to where the man was. But when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs.' What do you think? Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered the thieves?" Then the legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy towards him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word that has been read and spoken out loud this morning. Let your word convict us and fill our hearts that we might draw closer to you and to one another. Amen. This passage, of course, is quite familiar to many of us here in the church, the good story of the Good Samaritan, but also into the secular world. So many people can tell you this story. And it's for a reason, because we love to hear this story, and at other times we don't like to hear this story, because it tells us that we need to be better people than we oftentimes are to be the Good Samaritan, right? To go and to love and to show compassion. But in fact, all of the characters in this story we can relate to at some point in our life. Maybe you are the person on the side of the road who needs to be shown compassion and mercy. You're struggling, you're having a horrible day and need someone to reach out and to be there for you. Or maybe you are the Good Samaritan. You've had a good week, or you're doing well and you're able to help someone, and you show compassion and you show love to them. Maybe you're the priest and the Levite. You're just busy, occupied, you don't even think about it. Maybe you don't even notice the person on the side of the road and you walk on by. Or you notice them and you just don't have time for it, or you have other emotions. Maybe you're angry or frustrated and don't like that person on the side of the road, so you walk on by. And then finally, we have this legal expert, the one who asked the question of Jesus. And the reason he asked the question, it seems, because he wants to trick and challenge Jesus to figure out who his neighbor is. He wants to be able to come up with excuses and reasons to not love his neighbor or follow this commandment. And I thought a lot about this passage this week, because as I was on Monday, I dropped off the three confirmants, said goodbye to them. But I also had a moment in which I said goodbye to the camp, because if many of you read the newsletter or heard, it is the last summer that they will have campers there, because they are the board of and the annual conference decided to close down Picture Drops Camp starting in September. And so I'm very deeply grieved by it, because I began to go in and to say goodbye. I went and visited with the cook there, who's been there for 40 years plus. She is dedicated to that job, so dedicated, in fact, that you don't just get camp food. A lot of it's homemade. She makes the homemade breads, and a lot of the food she puts in endless time and hours all of these years into the camp. And as I began to walk around and to say goodbye to it, I realized not only was I grieved by it, I had taken this grief and this sadness and the last month or so, and I turned it into anger and frustration. I began to realize I was angry at conference for making that decision, for squashing, in my opinion, a ministry that was flourishing and doing well. And I was angry at the board of directors that he would even consider doing this so underhandedly that I felt there was no compassion shown or love. And God began to convict me in this sense that I was angry, and I was coming up with every excuse to justify my anger. And I look at the priest in this story, and originally I felt I was the person on the side of the road. I felt that I was the one who was wounded, same with the camp, that they were the ones on the side of the road. And I began to see instead that I was the priest walking by, being angry, being frustrated that I didn't want to have compassion for the director who had to make a hard decision, for a board who had to make a hard decision. I was so angry and caught up in my emotions that it was easy to say, well, I don't want to help the person on the side of the road. I want to just be angry. I want to feel justified in my hurt and my pain, and so I want to walk by. And God convicted me of that this week, and I realized at sometimes that we are horrible people even when we don't want to be, right? Because in this sense, I didn't want to be a good Samaritan. I straight out did not want to be kind or compassionate. I wanted someone to blame. I wanted someone to make me feel as though there was a reason behind this decision. And in all my anger and frustration, I realized that so many of us do this. We are like the priest and Levite, not just that we're so busy with our lives, we deliberately do not want to help someone or show compassion because our emotions get in the way, because we become hurt, because maybe it's our enemy who is laying there on the side of the road, who is suffering, and they've never done anything nice for us, so why should we return the favor and be nice to them? And this story, the reason we hear it over and over is because we haven't figured it out yet. We haven't got it perfected. We haven't all become the Good Samaritans. Maybe you have a good day and you're like, I showed compassion to someone a few weeks ago and I was doing well. But I probably believe that all of you have had moments where you were the priest or the Levite too. You're just so busy. You don't mean to not show compassion. You just are preoccupied with your life. You ignore the person and don't even see them there. Or maybe you deliberately say, I don't want to show compassion. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm hurt. And I began to also realize that the person on the side of the road, it changes. Another example of this could be that that person is an immigrant child on the side of the road. And we've all seen the news and the media of the situation at the border, and we find again that we place ourselves in the roles of all of these people. Maybe you're the legal expert and you think really critically about it and you're skeptical. Oh, it's the news. They could be showing just the bad stuff, not the stuff that we want to see. Or maybe you're the priest or the Levite. You're the Levite in the sense where you see the person on the side of the road, you see the news, and you know the children are struggling and hurt, and you think, well, they're somebody else's children. I have my own to take care of. I don't have time to deal with it. What am I going to do about it? Maybe you're the priest. And you see this, and it bothers you, and you say, that's not fair. These children are paying for punishment that they didn't even do, a crime that they can't be helped because of even their parents trying to bring them to a better place than where they were. And yet, what am I to do about it? How am I to help? There seems to be no endless answer, a constant war and fighting over this issue. And then you've got the Good Samaritan, the one who says, yes, this is a horrible situation, and I see this child, and what I'm going to do about it is I'm going to call all of the people I know from my state or my federal legislation and Congress and get them to do something. Maybe I'll send money or to trusted organizations that give toothbrushes and hygiene kits to help these children out. I'm going to do something about it because I don't like the situation, and I have compassion and love. Again, we find ourselves in all of these. Maybe you're still at the excuse phase as to why you can't help the person on the side of the road. And that's the challenge with this passage. The challenge with it is we don't get it figured out so easily because it's hard. It's hard to be the Good Samaritan. Even if you do it once in a while, it's very challenging to have an attitude of compassion and love every moment of your life. As I've admitted to you this morning, I have failed at that. And I feel really bad about it, but at the end of the day, there's a horrible part in our lives of sin, right, that sits there and says, I feel horrible about it, yet I still want to do it. I want to be angry. I want to be hurt. And it's conflicting with God's word. It's conflicting with what Jesus says in this passage, because he doesn't put conditions on it. He doesn't say, I want you to love your neighbor sometimes when you feel like it, when they're nice to you. He doesn't say, love your neighbor when that neighbor will give you something back or a reason to feel justified. There are no excuses. The legal expert wanted an excuse. He tried to trick Jesus. He thought, well, who is my neighbor? And what does Jesus say? He says that, you know, the Good Samaritan, the one who showed compassion, that's your neighbor. But this is also the same Jesus who would say that he loves the legal expert. He loves the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, and the person on the side of the road. He loves every single one of them. Not any of them are more loved by Jesus than the other. Because Jesus' compassion is one that says, even if you turn your back on me, I will love you. Even if we push God away because we want to be angry in the moment, God will still say, but I love you. Why are you pushing me away? And I realized this week that was what I was doing too, because I wanted to be angry, right? I can't be angry and love God at the same time. So I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to set you aside for a few minutes so that I can be angry and do what I want. And then maybe if I feel bad about that, I'll bring you back into the equation. And that doesn't solve anything either. That just makes me feel worse because I'm distancing deliberately, rebelling against God who loves me, who shows compassion and kindness, just for a few minutes of what I think is justification. And it doesn't solve anything nor make me feel better. And that's not the answer to this passage. Because again, Jesus doesn't say, I want you to only love your neighbor when you're feeling like it, when you're paying attention, when you see them laying there. I want you instead, he says, I want you to show compassion and love all the time, even to your worst enemy. To have a heart that says, I love you even if you hurt me and turn your back on me. And that's what makes this passage so hard. It makes it hard because we don't want to do that. We're rebellious, we're sinful people, and we all fail to love. But does that mean we just give up and say, all right, I'm going to be the Levite, the priest, and just do my own thing and feel bad about it, ask for forgiveness, and move on? No, it means that we are to follow that commandment the best that we can as humans. Because every character in this story is a human. Right, the Good Samaritan does the right thing, but the right thing at that moment. He probably more than likely will fail later on. There will be a point in his life where he's not the Good Samaritan, because he's human. The only person who will not fail, of course, is Christ. Jesus will be able to overcome any temptation to hate, because he is all love and all kind and compassion. But as humans, even the Good Samaritan in this story is going to fail at some point or another. So it's not just that we are to look up to the Good Samaritan and to be like that, but that we are to look to Christ, who is the connecting piece to this entire passage. That Jesus says, I love you when you fail. I love you when you're hurt. I love you when you're doing well and I'm doing an amazing job. I love you every point of your life, even when you push me away because of your sin and rebellion. Jesus loves all of us. He loves every single person here. The legal expert and all of his excuses do not consider the fact that Jesus said this commandment to love one another, to love God with your whole heart. There's a reason as well that is always spoken first. Love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, your entire being. Because in order for you to be able to even overcome this attitude of hate or sinfulness, you need to have a love that is full of compassion, that loves you even with your flaws. And in order for that, then to know God, to love God, will give you the strength to be able to love others the same way that you are loved in return. So this passage is not easy. We might need to hear it again every week, week after week, because we relate so much to all of the characters in it. But it doesn't mean that we give up. We trust that Christ is the one to surround us with compassion. We trust that when we fail, we will be picked back up and that we will do better the next time. And we are encouraged that God's love is redeeming just as we can be redeeming and caring for one another. Do not give up hope this morning, but trust in Jesus. Trust that there is compassion shown to you and I, and there's compassion that we have the ability to show to one another because of Christ's love for us. Let us pray. God, when we have failed to love others, we oftentimes distance ourselves from you because of guilt or pain, and then we find even then that we are lacking and cause more pain than good. We ask that you might, instead of having us push you away, drawing us close to you, we ask that you might guide us to a heart of love and compassion the way that you have compassion and love for us, that we might see the person on the side of the road, not just as ourselves, but as somebody loved just as the same as the priest, the Levite, the legal expert, all loved by you, God. Let us remember that when we want to be angry, when we want to turn away, that your love does not turn away from us, that you want to be with us. Help us to live into that love and compassion. One of the ways in which we begin learning to love and have compassion for one another is admitting when we have failed, admitting that we have horrible thoughts sometimes, and laying them at the feet of Christ, knowing that God opens his arms with grace and compassion, welcomes us, and sets us back on the right path to his love. Let us join together in our prayer of confession. You stand